Hey, Sox fans, welcome to Good Guys Talk Back, a local fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast, hosted by Nick Borowski and Pat Hester.
Hey, Sox fans, welcome back to Good Guys Talk Back. Hey, it's episode 260. I am Nick Borowski. This is a fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast. You can find it absolutely everywhere you find your podcasts. We do this live on Sunday nights, 9:15, on the Good Guys Talk Back YouTube channel. Please subscribe, pass it along to other Sox fans in your life, because, boy, we've got some workouts happening down in Arizona. We've got some full squad action as the first spring training game is just days away. Here to chop everything up with me, my dear friend, diehard Sox fan, Pat Hester. Hello, sir.
Nick, it's good to talk to you. Can we just do a whole Pedro Grifol quotes of the week? Because there's been
a lot of them. I've got
lots of optimism. Yeah. Why not us? We are in the Central after all. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I've got one. I've got one early in the show here. We'll still have our Pedro Grifol quote of the week later in the episode, but I've got one pretty early to kick things off for us, because everybody's talking. You know, it was an opportunity. Pitchers and catchers have reported. So, a lot of interviews, a lot of sound bites, you know what I love is I love the video, Pat, of bullpen workouts. And it's just, you're just seeing like the mechanics. You don't even know where the ball is going. You're just seeing people winding up. It's just that still frame, you know, on a pitcher and their motion. That's it. That's all you're getting right now.
Well, you'd have to imagine that there's a catcher catching it and it's not going to a backstop because it's returned rather quickly. So that's a positive thing. They're being caught by somebody on the other end.
It could be a catcher or somebody standing, you know, or just somebody with a, you know, basket of baseballs, just throwing it back to the pitcher. I don't know that we don't get that. It's just, and I love it. Every spring training, when pitchers and catchers report, that's what you get. You just kind of get like, okay, hey, they released the baseball. That's a good sign. I have no idea where it's going. And with Kopech, you got to know, man.
Just from analyzing that video, Nick, of Kopech, I'm really thinking he's going to turn the season around. I'm excited about him.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's figured it out just by looking at him. I mean, it's pretty impressive from what I've seen so far.
Sometimes you just need to look at somebody, sometimes right in the eyes, and you can just tell. We've got some crochet stuff, some Kopech stuff. Sox added a little bit. Basically, what are they at? 70 guys right now in camp, and it's like, hey, you catch, you could throw, you can run a little bit. Come on,
do you want to be part of our minor league? Would you like a 1-year minor league deal? Why not?
Don't say no to yourself. Let us say no to you. So just come on out. We'll make the decision. You know, we just need as many warm bodies as possible to field this team, because that's a rule. You've got to have a team this year. That's an absolute rule. So they've got no shortage of players to figure out a roster with.
So were you a fan of the Moustakas signing, Nick, or was that something?
You want to jump to Moose? We could jump to Moose right away.
You know what? We don't usually, because, you know, you like to keep me on my toes. We don't. Yeah. It's going to shock a lot of people, but, you know, we don't really talk a lot before the show goes to air because we like to keep it fresh. I don't want to tell you where to go. You steer the ship, and wherever you want to start us off, that is fine with me.
You know what? Let's go to Moose, because there was something that didn't happen. That's, you know, thank you. Someone brought it up in the comments. Sox missed out on Whit Merrifield. You and I kind of thought that feels right. Whit Merrifield, not necessarily that I'm in love with it, but with the way that this year is going, it's like, great. If Pedro needs Whit Merrifield in the clubhouse to restore order, culture, identity, TWTW, whatever it is, go get Whit. Come on over to the South Side. Nothing's happening this year anyways. You want to have some fun, Pedro? Bring Whit Merrifield in. He can play a few positions. solve some problems for the White Sox. That didn't happen. 1 year, $8 million to the Phillies.
It was a surprise. I mean, because it seemed like something that was, I don't know why we would think anything is inevitable with the White Sox. It just felt like that was a 1 year deal that Getz was going to pay for, and to see it not come to fruition was a little bit shocking, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that one I was surprised about. $8 million. The Sox could have done that. I mean, $8 million for a bench player. Again, if you think, man, I need this guy, I just need him. We've got a stacked roster, and I think a Whit Merrifield really helps out, veteran, super utility. But the Sox just aren't there. And with a decline that Merrifield kind of has been having, I don't even know. The Sox can do it. I don't know if it's the money that you'd be paying for with Merrifield. Anyway, they decided to bring in Mike Moustakas, though. Could he be the missing link for the Southsiders? White Sox agreed to terms on a minor league deal with Moustakas. He's in camp as a non-roster invitee. And a lot of quotes from Pedro Getz. He's a winner. He's a champion. Okay. Got to have this guy. He is out to prove something, is what Pedro Grifol said about Moose. Everybody is out to prove something, with this team. I mean, everybody seems like they've got a chip on their shoulder. I'll get to that Pedro quote in a little bit. But, I mean, early thoughts on bringing Moustakas in.
I don't understand what was the need of a Mike Moustakas. What role does Mike Moustakas fill for us? I mean, I just don't know.
He could eliminate the need for Gavin Sheets. He could provide.
If you're getting an older version of Gavin Sheets, wouldn't you just want the younger version of Gavin Sheets?
Maybe something with Moustakas. Pedro needs it. You know, this is somebody that I gotta have Moose. Get me Moose. I need to have Moose in here. He's got something to prove. He's a winner. He's a champion. He bounced between the Rockies and the Angels last year in 2023. Played in 100.
Well, think about that. What I mean, from the Rockies and the Angels at least has some star power. Yeah. But just some awful organizations and where they're at right now and their in where they're set up. And then you come to us. I mean, my goodness gracious, you are really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. He's lefty bat, third base, first base, DH last year, played 112 games. So his slash line, 247, 293, 392, I had 12 home runs, OPS of 685. Now, that 685 OPS, better than Benintendi, better than Grandal, better than TA, and better than Elvis Andrus, and absolutely better than Gavin Sheets, who was at 599 OPS in 118 games and had only 10 home runs. So, I mean, if Moose at what, mid-30s? If Moose is healthy and he's having one heck of a spring and he is that winner, he is that champion, and he proves something, does he find a spot on the ball club?
Haven't we been at a logjam with first baseman DHs for a long time?
And there hasn't been a new one that's entered the equation in a while.
Let's just jam this one in. Why not? I mean, that's why I say, what was the need for it? If you're overloaded in that position anyway, we've been trying to figure out what the heck to do with these guys that are all the same for a long time. Now, I guess the area in which you could look at it and go, okay, we need some left-handed power. Let me not remind you what you could have done years ago with Bryce Harper. Yep. But let's forget about that for a moment. You're always looking for this left-handed power that's eluded you. You did lose Yasmani Grandal, who, you know, had not been putting up the power numbers we would like to see, but certainly was capable of 20 to 25 home runs if he was ever right, which he wasn't because his back was just not in a good place. So I get that. I do. But are we going to try and convert him to play second base? I mean, can he play second base, or are we going to shove him?
Moose has played second base in his career. Didn't see much of it at all in 2023. So I don't know if this is just a guy that, again, Pedro Grifol and Getz are familiar with. You know, he's hit himself a decent amount of home runs, in a few times. I don't know, 5-6 years ago, he got into the 30s. He's fallen off. He hasn't played, you know, full seasons due to injuries and such. So I don't know. You know, it just seems like, on one hand, the Sox, they're just stuck. You know, at least that is what the impressions that I get. Maybe behind closed doors, they're very open and honest with each other, and they're like, complete wash this year. You know, let's just see if we can get people that capture something, and maybe we can surprise some folks. I don't know, like that. I think we're going to laugh about it years down the road. I really do. Like, remember that second rebuild or third rebuild, however you want to think about it, when we didn't know what the hell was going on, and they brought in Mike Moustakas. I wish his name was Moose Moustakas.
Can we change it to Moose Moustakas?
We can. Why not? Let's have some fun with it.
Yeah. And how many more are out there? How many more ex-Royals can there be to be signed? At this point, who else is left?
Yeah, I don't know. There might not be any more. It would have to be a trade. But how many more people are you going to bring to camp? You know, I mean, how many more of those like weird knockoff official bizarre jerseys do you have to give out? I mean, you know, we're running out of numbers.
It's amazing. So, it's amazing to see the vast difference between the two organizations that play at Camelback Ranch, isn't it, Nick? I mean, on one side, you've got the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are the model of what everybody would want their franchise to be in terms of, if we're not winning championships, we're not happy. We're going to find ways to be creative and sign guys. And we're also going to have a really decent, system in which we can trade and build and bring up and then, you know, do, you know, make big swings when there's an opportunity to take a big swing. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, it's like that. But yeah, here we are talking about Mike Moustakas, something I didn't think we'd be talking about today, honestly, Nick.
No, not at all. We've probably spent way too much time talking about him as well. But, you know, there's jobs to be won when you talk about, you know, who's going to be maybe your fifth infielder, who's going to be that utility guy. Those are the situations that you're going to have to look at. There's, you know, a million arms, not only just starting pitching, but bullpen that we'll focus on in a little bit here. But let's kick things off, I guess, in terms of, you know, quotes and everything that's been talked about already with pitchers and catchers getting going. Grifol already on the mic, as he will be, and we'll be here to cover it. This is what Grifol said recently on just kind of the type of club that the Sox were last year. And it just kind of strange to me, some of these things here. We were a conservative club last year. We didn't take many risks, Grifol said. We weren't taking extra bases. We didn't steal bases. I'm not looking to see that style of baseball this year. You'll see some of that here in the spring. You'll see the differences here in the spring. That'll change your managing style just because guys are going to be doing more. They're going to be more aggressive. They're going to be a little more fearless. That's what I'm asking these guys to go out there and do. So when I read that, and even every time I reread it, you know, new things pop up. It just seems like were guys just saying no to him last year. Like, I refuse to do that. I am not going to be more aggressive. I'm not going to play that type of baseball that you want me to be. So, you know, who was in charge last year? I keep coming back to the fact that I really don't think Pedro Grifol had the ability to be, you know, manage people and personalities and be that voice and be able to get his philosophy or his way of doing things, not only through, but then try to coach people through, you know, when, if it's a growing edge, if it's a problem for some baseball players on the Sox, like, this is not how I normally do it. This is how I want you to do it. Here's why. This is how we're going to approach this. It didn't seem like that message at all resonated. Things got off the rails quickly. He didn't know how to get it back. And things in his mind and in the White Sox mind have been turned over now. Things have been like, you know, almost reimagined. So I think he can get the type of baseball he wants to be played. That's my best guess there.
I think he's still searching for what the identity of this team is or can be. And I don't think he really knows now with some of the change that's happened, what his guys are really capable of. It, to me, it sounds like last year we couldn't do these things. And I interpret it as these are all the things I wanted us to be able to do last year, but because of the personnel that we had, we couldn't. And I don't know that you've changed the personnel enough to really affect it this year, but I think he thinks it's been tweaked enough to where now you can kind of experiment a little bit and try and find whatever that identity that he wants his team to be this year. Because, you know, when we've talked about it a lot, Nick, and I don't know if it's going to, whether you have an identity or not, is going to, you know, make go have you go from, you know, 61 wins to 71 wins or 81. I have no idea. But there's got to be something that this team can go to every day and go, you know what, we got our ass beat last night, but let's go back tomorrow to the ballpark because we're going to lean on this because we believe in ourselves in this area where we're going to take the extra base and we're going to be aggressive or we're going to steal bases. You know, we may not have the advantage on the pitching mound tomorrow, but because of this is who we are, we know we can win games this way. And they just didn't have that ability last year. Again, it was a team that I think was built primarily on hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And when you don't have guys that you brought in to be able to do that, or they're not coached in a way to hit the ball out of the ballpark for whatever reason, over the years, then you get what you get. The one probably number one skill of most of those guys, you take that away and they're really not good ball players in other areas.
Yeah, there's a lot that they're searching for right now. There's some stuff that it's difficult to define, and people will say, "Well, you know it when you see it, when you feel it." And as a former, you know, baseball player, that when you hear people talk about it, whether they're doing color or play by play, or they're doing pre or post, and they've been in the dugout before, they've worn the jersey, they just say when it just comes together, it's almost like magic, you know, and it can, everybody gets on the same page. Everybody's kind of speaking the same language. It doesn't sound like any of that was happening last year, despite the fact that, you know, that's what Grifol wanted to do and his coaching staff. You know, they had grand plans. We talked about it. I mean, everybody heard about it and read about it, of how they were going to play baseball. They were going to play a different brand. You know, the whole, you know, the pep stuff that Grifol talked about, you know, get ready, you know, when you show up at 7:10 and what's going to happen, you know, we're going to rip you a new one.
Well, and I think that that's what he wanted to have happen. I didn't think he had to fix. I don't think he had to feel like he had to try and fix the culture of a clubhouse. And when the season started the way it did, he had to go into almost damage control and try and fix whatever was going on in that clubhouse. And he couldn't focus on, you know, getting guys to really go out there and compete on a day in and day out basis. I'm interested to know years down the line when somebody wants to come out and write the book about the 2023 Chicago White Sox, man, and what was really going on behind the scenes. Because it just seems like the more we hear about, the more little leaks that have happened throughout the year, how just awful it was. I mean, it just didn't seem like anybody enjoyed being around each other. And you could tell it with the body language, you know, guys like Aloy that just were unhappy most of the time, you know.
Yeah.
Jim Anderson was just, I don't know what he turned into. and look at his career now. It's just how fast that has shifted from, you know, the face of the White Sox, possibly going to be the face of baseball, to a guy that, you know, can't get the dollars that he wants and has an offer on the table. I don't know if he's signed it yet from the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, I think Pedro came in thinking, boy, I just have to fix what the old man couldn't do in terms of getting guys to play the game the right way. I won't really have to worry about anything culturally. And he had that going on all year, and he could never really focus on the, you know, show up at 7:15 ready to kick the other team's ass.
Which, you know, like we've talked about before, like what's the need for a manager, right? I mean, all your metrics, all your numbers, all of your stats against different type of pitching, everything's available. Just put all that into a computer and just pump out your lineup.
But is it available for this team? I mean, we've seen it. I mean, is the analytic department like it is on other ball clubs?
That's true. I mean, you know, if you were to go and just say, hey, we're going to create a level playing field, like every team has the same type of analytics. Here's a program that, you know, you plug in your roster, your team against what you're facing, the conditions, and, you know, it's going to pump out a lineup for you. You don't have to think about anything. And this is when you should probably use some of your pitchers in these situations. Like, what do you need a manager for? There's you're really managing personalities. You're managing, you know, a clubhouse. You're managing, obviously, you're right now, all the stuff that happens on the field. But, you know, as a first time manager last year, he not only like knew how to really run that ball club when it was like when you had the reins, but also how to deal with, like, he was in one place for a long time. He got to know those personalities and that culture in Kansas City. And you come into Chicago and they're looking at you like, who are you? You know, what credentials you have? You're going to tell me how to play this game when I've been here and I've been putting up numbers at this level. I just think some folks just tuned him out. They're like, no, thanks. So I'm curious to see what he does different. It sounds like he's taking a different approach here and there in spring training or at the beginning of spring. And what we should look forward to is the first full squad ramps up on Monday, February 19th. But, you know, you talk about culture, chemistry, TWTW, and this was from Garfine talking about how the Sox could turn things around in 2024. And he went right to could be the straw that stirs the drink here. Martin Maldonado. How about that? Get his perspective on how things are going to change. And this is what Maldonado said, changing the mentality, play fast, play fearless, be selfless, play motivated to win. So there you go. You check all those boxes and a bunch of other things go right. And that's how you can change and flip the script.
All right. I mean, that's all good to hear, right? These are all good things to hear. It's almost like I'm coming into the best shape of my life type of talk, right, Nick? So, and maybe we'd have a different outlook had last season not gone the way it did. Let's take it from the perspective of, maybe just have another 50, you know, a 500 year, and we're hearing this kind of stuff. Maybe we're encouraged. Maybe it's like, okay, you know, Pedro was able to still keep the rig on the road at a 500. It was a failure in terms of what we really wanted, but look at guys are coming in. This division is still wide open. It's amazing what last year has done to the psyche of the fan base going into this year. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but you look at it and you think, you know, if you're hearing these types of things and they're not, and you don't have the context of what happened last year, you're probably like, we would be eating this up with a spoon, Nick. Mm-hmm. Honestly, these aren't bad things that guys are saying. And it's unfortunate that we as Sox fans have to, you know, we're rolling our eyes a lot, but when you don't have a lot of faith in the organization or the manager, it's really hard to get excited about things right at this point. I hope that that's the case. And again, we can only go on the hope that that guys will buy into some of this stuff, and the culture will change, and Pedro will get the guys to play that the way that they want them to play. But if Maldonado can be a leader, someone that people will follow, that'd be fantastic, regardless of how his stats are and regardless of how he is, you know, at the plate. If he can do his job behind the plate and be some type of a leader for this team, maybe he was worth the pickup. I don't know.
Yeah. We went through all of this last season after the disappointing 2022, where the Sox, of course, finished 81-81. Hey, we got Pedro Grifol. We've got a new-ish coaching staff. He's brought in some people, some tweaks here and there, but no big splash moves. You know, holes were not filled, and we heard the same rah-rah, like, you know, we're turning the page, forget everything that happened. That was disappointing. We know it was disappointing. Never again. And it got me excited. I'm like, they're going to be playing a different brand of baseball. I really do believe fresh eyes out of the organization is going to bring something to the Sox team. They still kind of have enough to absolutely compete in this division. And, the talent wasn't there. You know, they had some health issues here and there. But what have you done talent-wise, you know, this offseason? Where have you really invested? To me, it's all guys that are looking to just like, hey, I got to prove I could still be in the league. I got to, you know, I'm trying to have a bounce back after an injury. You know, Fetty coming from the KBO, can he do it at the MLB level, which has eluded him, especially, you know, with his time with Washington, you know, Cease with, hey, I'm auditioning right now because I could be gone. A lot. There are a few people that could be gone at the trade deadline, you know? And so, yeah, hey, I'm excited. I'm absolutely excited for White Sox baseball. I know that sounds insane, you know, when you talk to some Sox fans, but that's just how I'm wired. You know, yeah. I get it. That's my problem to deal with. But after I come off of that excitement of, well, I haven't had this in a while, meaning White Sox baseball, and I see the videos and, you know, full squad, everybody's going to be here. I'm going to be going to spring training in a couple weeks. It'll be fun because baseball's back.
Yeah.
But when you come down and the dust settles, you're like, oh, wow, man, this team is just not built to really, really compete. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sledding. I think personally, Pat, I'm going to be looking at, well, what's next year? Who are the guys that I should be really paying attention in terms of next year? And that's going to go on this spring. You know, obviously your Colson Montgomery's, your Brian Ramos, and, you know, Nastrini and Leisure, and like different arms that Schultz down the line, you know, Caro, like, hey, like let's watch these guys. I hope they stay healthy. It's like 2017, 2018 all over again, you know? The Athletic put out their power rankings, Pat, as I'm sure you were following and paying attention to.
The complete flip of what Pecota had? I mean, is this going to shock me?
It's not going to shock you.
No?
Okay. And this is just the beginning. I'm sure all these other outlets are going to be coming out with their power rankings, you know, as the weeks roll on here up until opening day. So power rankings from the Athletic, 30 teams in the league. Sox ranked 29th. So this is a little blurb. I thought it was hilarious. I thought this was very funny, this write-up. At least I read it in a very funny way. So there was a bunch of stuff that was written about, you know, Cease and a couple other things. And could Robert, you know, recapture 23 and whatever. But here is a bit of defense-oriented blurb here in this Athletic power rankings write-up. They, meaning the White Sox, also think they improved up the middle with acquisitions of infielders Nicky Lopez and Paul DeJong, and most importantly, catcher Martin Maldonado. So how I read that was, like, if you've ever gone to a stand-up comedian, or if you ever, you know, and someone said, oh, was it funny? Was it good? And you'd say, Well, I think they thought it was funny and it was good. I got this. I took this write up as like the White Sox think they improved up the middle, but nobody else sees that at all. But good for them. They think they got better.
Way to try. Good effort. Good effort. You know, it's like you're watching your kid's basketball game and they just throw up a brick. They think that, you know, hey, I got it a shot off. I got it to the basket. That's fantastic. No shot clock violation, but it was a brick. And you just say, hey, good job, bud. Keep chucking it, man. Yeah. And that's who the White Sox are. They're a little 8-year-old kid trying to play basketball.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 29th isn't going to make you feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. I guess that one could argue they are better defensively up the middle. I mean, we've talked about it a lot that, you know, Tim Anderson left a lot to be desired at shortstop from time to time.
Yeah.
So there is somewhat of a reality that they are going to be defensively anyway, in theory, going to be better up the middle. I still don't really know if it's going to be good enough there. That ranking still might make sense. They may have ranked 30th last year, you know, by the end of the year last year, who knows? So, I mean, it doesn't shock me. 29th is 29th. I have to wonder though, you know, our players and is Pedro, you know, I know that they had mentioned it a little bit, you know, in terms of the whole good thing we're in the division type of talk, and you know, we're going to try and prove people wrong and all that stuff. I get that. I just wonder how much of this stuff is, you know, bulletin board material, or if guys these days, you know, care about that kind of stuff, because I would be using this anything I can to glean to motivate my team. I would have all these projections all over the locker room all year round. You know, I don't know if that's going to really change anything or motivate guys enough to play above who they are, but man, I mean, it's just week after week after prediction after prediction.
I've got the Pedro Grifol quote of the week kind of alludes to some of that you were talking about, where and Sheets has talked about it over the last couple of weeks. You know, everybody's counting us out, you know, so yeah, there's a chip. And people are counting you out for a reason. And if that's motivation for some players, if that's what you need to say, you know what, I don't know what this team's going to look like, but I, as an individual, I've got something to prove, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to dig deep inside it. Perhaps Chris Getz was a little transparent, which I appreciated, on the free agent process, but I think he might have left some of the major points out. Chris Getz said recently that when he spoke with free agent pitchers this offseason, Pat, there was a concern about signing with the White Sox because of the defense. Mm. Getz made improving the defense a priority. There was a hesitancy to come to the White Sox because of the defense, Getz said last week. So that led me to really be proactive in improving it. I want it to be an attractive place for pitchers to want to pitch here. I would assume having Sheets out in right field is not a good idea. I bet you there were probably some free agent pitchers that were like, is he still your guy? Is he number one in the depth chart out there? Okay. We'll call you. You don't contact us.
Still bullish anymore on that.
Yeah. I will say though that, and that's well and good. I assume that makes sense. I think there's a lot of factors that go in, probably ballpark where you play, maybe what your offense looks like, what kind of run support am I going to get? And of course, defense. And I think we saw some of that last year. There was some frustrations, pitchers trying to absolutely do it on their own. I got to strike these guys out. I have to be perfect, because if the ball's in play, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. So, you know, the bar was so low with defense. I do believe with some of the stuff that they've brought in, it's got to be better. You know, it has to be tightened up. I think one of the issues, though, with pitchers maybe not wanting to come to the White Sox, maybe financial compensation. That's probably a biggie. what are you offering me?
In 10 years? Couple that with years, yes, right? Yeah. And I guess it goes hand in hand. You know, the more years you get, will determine how many dollars go into your pocket. But the standard is the standard, right? The standard here is we're not paying guys for more than 5 years. Guys are traditionally looking for long-term deals that, you know, to give them some security. And that's a part of bargaining and negotiating with people these days that you have to sometimes be willing to do to get top dollar talent. You have to be able to do a little give and take. And when you're not willing to do that, you're never going to sign anybody to anything. So I agree with that. But, you know, I've said it for years, Nick. I mean, when you don't have a place where guys feel like normal outfielders are going to run down balls in gaps and save me, you know, runs or save me hits or save me, quite frankly, pitches on my arm.
Yeah.
You know, that is a concern, 100%. And it's not like you've got to be spectacular. You don't have to be, you know, the Diamondbacks. Remember when we saw the Diamondbacks last year, Nick, play defense against us in the outfield? It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
I mean, running things down in gaps that I didn't think people had any business getting to. So when you have that, I could see why guys would go, you're going to really have to pay top dollar for me to come here. Then you've got to go over and above what market value is, because if I'm going to come here and pitch for you, I'm going to have to overcome a lot, and I can go somewhere else, not have to overcome a lot. And maybe I can pitch and still be healthy enough to get another contract in my career. You know what I mean?
You know, I think there's a lot that goes into it. I think money absolutely talks. And to your point, we don't pay premium dollar for premium talent when it comes to on the mound. Relievers, we've given way more money than we should for the bullpen, but starting pitchers, absolutely not. You know, the Sox want to become the Diamondbacks. It sure sounds like that. And I think that's a lot from what Jesse Barfield Jr. has brought over from out west, and that could be a good thing. But in terms of improving the defense, there's a lot of one-year contracts out there right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if there's anybody on this team where they've improved being like, wow, these are our defenders for the next 4 to 5 years. Like, when we go into the offseason after this season with all of this money and we're going to be able to spend, perhaps, what pitchers are going to say, oh, I loved what you did in 2024. All of those guys that are pretty much not going to be around anymore. Wow, that was a great defense. Because you're going to have Colson Montgomery coming up. I don't think Mancada is going to be around anymore. So you'll probably have Brian Ramos. At second base, is it Lenin Sosa? Is it Popeye Rodriguez? Like, what's the future there? So when you go to talk to pitchers in the offseason next year, they're going to look at you like, well, who are these guys that you've got as defenders? I mean, I know Luis Robert Jr., but these guys are unproven. You're asking me to pitch with a rookie, you know, infield and young defenders. I don't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, I would really, you and I would love this to really sit down with Chris Getz and go, can you kind of lay out what the plan is, right? Because, and I think he seems like right now, I'm not going to grade him on what he's done as far as a general manager. I don't think there's not much he can do right now. His hands are definitely
incomplete. Yeah.
So I'm not going to judge him at the moment, but I would like to know what the plan is. And we've talked a lot, and I think he's okay saying that it's a rebuild, even though he hasn't really said it's a rebuild. I mean, we can tell it's a rebuild. It doesn't have to be said. But I'd like to know, and you're never going to get a full, honest answer out of people, but like, okay, guys, here's how it's going to be. This year is going to be rough, okay? Don't look for us to bring in any kind of high-priced free agents right at the moment. We're going to sign a lot of guys to one-year minor league deals here or there. We're going to fill out the roster. We're going to really see what we have in our system We're going to really watch our system to develop guys the right way. If they, you know, force our hand, we'll bring them up and give them an opportunity and develop them at the major league level if we have to. But the idea is we're looking at the class of 2020. What would that be? Class of 2024 free agents, because we know then we're going to be targeting several players that are going to be free. And I have no idea who the free agents are coming into this year, but maybe there's a more attractive class that they're waiting on. And I would just like to know what kind of the long-term plan is. And if you came out and said, it's going to be 4 years, it's probably going to be 4 years and it's going to be a little bit rough here, but trust us, here is the plan laid out. I'll get behind it because I have to get behind it. And so will you. We may not like it as we go through it. But if you can tell me that, like, as we go along, look for these mile markers as we go, and you know, this is what the target is, and we don't want to go no longer. I would love this to be said. No longer are we going to just say we're in the Central Division, so it could be our year any year. We would like to, more times than not, 8 times out of 10 years, win this division because we're the Chicago White Sox. We're a big market team, and we're going to set ourselves up for success for the long term, rather than maybe we'll pop up and we'll win, and next year the Twins will win. Maybe they'll win 2 years in a row, and then Detroit will have a pop up, and then the Royals will do their thing, you know, and then Cleveland always.
We're striving for sustainability.
Yeah,
we don't want to just grab a division title and then an early round exit. We're going to be in your face in your business. You're not going to be able to shake us, you know, for half a decade, if not more. You know, we're building a machine here. You know, it's just, we're just going to be replenishing, next man up, you know, instead of this trying to find an identity and what's our culture and this, get it figured out. And then that's a machine, man. And everybody is in lockstep in the organization all the way top to bottom, although we don't trust the top. Everybody's in line. Okay. And you get that and you figure that out. Nothing's guaranteed after that. But to your point, you just would have a better sense of where we're moving. And that's why I got excited, you know, when Chris Sale was traded. It's like, finally, we've got a direction. Finally, we're moving somewhere, you know, and it didn't pan out. And I'm waiting to see, you know, how things go. I'm going to be here as you are and so many other folks. Show me. Because I was believing and I was trusting and I was hoping and fingers crossed. And I want you to show me, you know, like put your money on premium talent, build this thing. When the time is ready to flesh this thing out, figure it out, do it. I'm just not waiting here, hoping, wishing, you know, like I've done all of that.
Well, you know? And I hope that at some point in our fandom, Nick, when you and I are still of sane minds, which I would argue that we may not be of sane minds at the moment anyway, but that if you get to the point like the Sox were in the last rebuild, and where whether it was Kenny or Rick or both or Jerry or all of the above, when you get to a certain point and you've got a little taste of winning and you had a little bit of multiple back-to-back successes, because we'll call them that. You made the playoffs, you won a division, things like, look where they were pointing in the right direction, but you had to take a step back and analyze your ball club and go, we are too redundant in this area. We've got too many first baseman DH type guys on this team. We're not athletic enough. We really love Aloy. We really do. We love his bat, but we need to get more athletic. We need to make a trade. You need to make a trade and move off of guys when their value was at its highest, when you had too much redundancy, and it would have hurt guys, you know, it would have hurt fans like us. Cause we like Aloy. We like the happiness. We like the ball go way far out of the ballpark. We like all that stuff. But when you're looking at your team and you go, okay, I've got this guy, Gavin Sheets. He's got some left-handed power, but he doesn't play a position that I need him to be able to play. So though I see a lot of potential in him being that left-handed bat that we have pined for, we need to move off of that guy right now. So when you get to a certain level, when you're here and you're winning again, you have to really be shrewd and look at your ball club and go, all right, what has held us back from going from this step to the next step? And you may have to cut bait on guys that you really like, that you brought along and were part of your plan and part of your rebuild. But just for whatever reason, their piece doesn't fit 100%. And we need to bring in this other piece to kind of get us to the next step. So I would say, don't be Frank Costanza and stop short next time. Go all the way.
Yeah. It's looking yourself in the mirror as an organization and just being honest. And Sacks have held, I mean, every organization loves their guys. Sacks have just held on to guys far longer than they should have. And then they've just been stuck because of it. Guys playing out of the position. So those types of things, I absolutely hope stop. We'll talk a couple arms here before we get into the Pedro Grifol quote of the week. Michael Kopech trimmed down. I think he's lost maybe 20 pounds or so. He's coming off of a year 5-12, 5.43 ERA. Pat, this is I saw this from Merck this past week. Seventh season. This is the beginning of the seventh season he has been with the White Sox. Now, he didn't play in 2020. He's been injured and just he's really played parts of what four, but seventh season that's starting actually with the White Sox. And we have no real idea what we have in Kopech. And so the plan for him, again, we've been hearing of this, and it was said again this past week by Chris Getz, is for Michael Kopech to be a starter. He's comfortable doing that. The beauty of Michael is that he's got the ability to pitch in multiple roles. Not everyone has that floor, so to speak. But right now, he had a very smooth offseason, smoother than he's had in the past. This is from Kopech. I'm excited to come in feeling healthy, ready to go, ready to compete, ready to build a new culture within the team. It's something we all are pretty fixated on, kind of a fresh start. Look, Michael Kopech's gone through a lot. I haven't followed all of his journey, but he's had a lot going on in his personal life. It sounds like there might be, I don't know specifically if there was like some mental stuff or just anxiety, or I don't know exactly what he was going through, but he was going through something, and he had some injuries. It was a big old mess. You know, I've battled stuff in my life. You know, people have battled stuff. I root for Michael Kopech. I don't think he has been of sound mind and body, and he just hasn't. I would love to know what we had in Michael Kopech. If he was of sound mind, body for a season, I'd like to know. I mean, there's no track record. There's nothing that you can fall back on being like, well, this is what you could expect. We have no idea. He was flipped around in different roles last year. He is a mystery, you know, but this is the year, Pat. There are no expectations. And if you are somebody that has struggled personally, you know, on the field, off the field, it's not like the team is, hey, we need Michael Kopech if we're going to make a run at this. There are no expectations. Just like, I hope he's healthy, Pat, just to let it fly and see what can happen.
Did they say why the need to lose the 20 pounds? Was it to take pressure? Because he had the knee problem, right?
Right.
The knee was the problem. Is I would imagine that. The weight loss is to help that and to keep some.
Well, with pitching, Pat, anytime I hear of somebody losing weight, like it's the opposite of the Lucas Giolito thing, which remember when he bulked up and he became like a superhero, and then he pulled some things and he came out and he admitted, you know, boy, I didn't have the elasticity. I didn't have the flexibility. I had to change kind of my motion and everything. And then it was just it was a complete mess. When I hear somebody's doing that, losing some weight, I think because of flexibility for a pitcher.
Yeah.
Okay. They want that, you know, they want to have that free, quick motion and there has been some, maybe some muscle buildup that is restrictive maybe. And that's only I could think. I did not get an actual answer though yet.
Okay. It's interesting. And you're right. There is zero expectation in terms of what I'm looking for from Michael Kopech, which is so strange from the excitement that was Michael Kopech when he got to the White Sox and when he first pitched, and the electricity that was in the ballpark to where we're at now. And I cannot believe it's been 7 years. That I would have never guessed that. I would have never guessed that in a million years that he's been on this club for 7 years. So you look at it and you go, so much hype, so much excitement to all the trials and tribulations that have happened during his time, to like, now we're like, well, maybe he can start, maybe he can come out of the bullpen, maybe he can spot start, maybe he won't be here by the trade deadline. I really can't tell you. It's very interesting with him though. I really hope that he can kind of find some control, because with him, he is a guy that would benefit from a better defense for sure. Yep. And number two, or because of that, you know, when things go bad for him, they just snowball. He loses mm-hmm. the control. There's an error behind him. And then all of a sudden it's like, what are we looking at here? And balls flying all over the place. So I hope that he can find himself in a different situation where he can overcome some of that stuff. Cause I don't foresee this team going from one of the worst defenses to even an average defense this year, though that would be fantastic. But I don't think we're ever going to see what we expected out of Michael Kopech. But can we just see a guy that we can count on? That's where the bar is at for me.
And that's where I hope he's healthy. Like, there's a lot of things that I hope for him, but if he could at least stay healthy, maybe we could see whatever he wants to show us. Like, whatever his, it's like, man, I want to do these things, my body won't let me. Whether that's mental, whether that's, you know, something else with the knee or what have you. I just hope it's a clean, healthy spring. He starts the season fresh and we get a glimpse, or we can see whatever we saw. We've seen some glimpses, haven't we? We've seen some games mm-hmm. where, wow, what an outing. What an unbelievable outing against tough competition.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it's nowhere near the body of work that we expected, that we dreamed about, that we couldn't wait for back in the fall of 2016. So there's a lot of arms that are vying for spots, you know, some guys that nobody, you know, have ever been heard of. Some guys that really didn't pitch much last year due to an injury, not even in the league. And you got a guy like Eric Crochet that's in that mix. 73 career innings over parts of three seasons. For Garrett Crochet, he is among those competing for a spot in the rotation, according to Pedro Grifol. I'm ecstatic, Crochet said recently. It's not like I expect to be given anything. I just want a chance to fight for a spot and earn it. And at the end of spring training, reevaluate. He's going to be built up to try to win a spot, Grifol said, and we'll see where it ends up. This is crazy to me that this is being tried out. Now, I feel like the only way that, okay, so could this happen? I think it could happen because they're talking so much about it. You know, if yeah. there was no mention of Garrett Crochet and, you know, hey, we're trying to get him right. But the fact that they're talking about it, he must have done a bunch in the offseason. They had eyes on him. They exchanged communication. They knew what was going on with him. And there was a process that they like that was put in place that has now continued in Arizona. So could it happen? Well, it can. This is the year where anything can happen. You want to try to do something? Go do it. This is the 2024 Chicago White Sox. Nobody's expecting this to do anything. No one is going to be paying attention. So there should be no pressure. If your body's right, if you've been built up, if your arm's ready, go ahead if you want it. You know, yeah. if the organization is behind you on that.
Yeah, it's the old if there's smoke, there's fire type of thing.
Yeah.
So it would be nice. I'm not going to lie to you. It'd be nice to have a left-handed pitcher in our starting in our starting rotation. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Because we really haven't had one in some time. So that would be great to have a little bit of a different look in a series, possibly. Not that's going to happen all the time in every series, but that'd be great. And if you know what, if he can't stretch out and be a starting pitcher, if he can be a dominant, I'm not going to say closer, but a dominant reliever from the lefty side of the rubber, then that's great too. So work him out however you want to work him out. But I need a productive Garrett Crochet. And again, a guy that we watched and we were in awe of for a very short time,
2020,
and couldn't get more excited about the guy. And then it just, very quickly, a guy that wasn't available anymore. Yeah. So, again, work him out however you want to work him out. Tell him whatever you want to tell him, but I'd like to have that guy in my on my club if he can help me.
Health, man. Another player on this team. You can talk Mancada. You can talk Eloy Jimenez, which we will, throughout this spring training. But in terms of those two players, Michael Kopech and Garrett Crochet, it comes down to health. I'd love to see a healthy Garrett Crochet, whatever role he's going to be in, however he can contribute. But just we're not worried because of limitations or innings or something, which still might be the case if he's going to be a starter. But both those two guys, I'm just looking for health, and then we'll reevaluate as the season goes along. Jerry's asking for $1 billion in public funding. I mean, how much time do you really want to spend on this?
I don't think much. Honestly, there's some really great reports out there. Crane's had a great article about it. You can get all the information on it. Nick and I aren't going to be able to break down the financial asks of a Jerry Reinsdorf. I think it's on the surface, it's laughable when a guy like Jerry Reinsdorf who refuses to pay players and keeps his front offices smaller than anybody else. The analytic and scouting department are smaller than anybody else. And he's going out and asking the public for $1 billion. Now I get it. It comes a lot of it, or most of it's coming through this sports authority thing that has to be used. And it's basically a race between them and the Bears to gobble up this money. I understand it. So I don't think it's directly coming from out of your pocket or my pocket when you call it public money. But it's unfortunate because it just feels like don't pay attention to what we're going to do on the field. Pay attention to the shiny new toy that I'm going to deliver to you. And that'll be my legacy as I leave it. And again, as we talked about last time, my hope is that this new stadium does get done. That is beautiful and fantastic. It raises the value of this team and then ultimately is sold. Does not mean that it's going to be sold to a better owner, but it can't be sold to a much worse owner.
Yeah, that is well said. I agree with that. Yeah, there's a lot that they want to do around that 78. Obviously, there's going to be housing. There's restaurants. There's all different kinds of stuff that's going to be put in, entertainment. It's villages, man. That's what people are trying to build these days. They're villages where you come in, you're going to spend the weekend perhaps. You spend the day, whatever, like you just get lost in this world. It's a baseball stadium and it's everything around it. Hotels, all that kind of stuff. So, right. Anytime you look at Jerry Reinsdorf and he's looking for handouts, public money, you're just, you cringe, you grit you grind your teeth. You're just, it just does not sit well at all. So TBD, I know the Bears, there's some weird stuff going on with them. And I don't know what's going to be happening along the lakefront. It's important property. And the lease isn't up for 6 years or something at guaranteed rate. This stuff's got to get figured out well before that.
Oh, yeah.
It just does, So the wheels are in motion now, and I feel like every week there's a new little article. So we got a Pedro Grifol quote of the week before we leave you. Are you ready, Pat? This is
My gosh, give it to me. I can't wait. So get my Pall Malls ready for afterwards.
Yeah. This is Pedro now responding to how the White Sox, according to the prognosticators, have 0.0% chance of making the postseason. This is him weighing in on this. It's got to be motivating everybody in the building, Grifols said. If it's not, you've got to check yourself at the door. I don't know if it's the right place for you. 0.0% after turning over a roster the way we've turned it over, and new front office members and new coaches and new vibe and energy in the work that was done in the offseason, it's good. It's good to hang up on the wall, meaning that is bulletin board material. So he went all, and maybe I kind of influenced that, but he went all, you know, WWF, just kind of like before, like Earthquake or Brutus the Barber Beefcake would go out and me and Gene would have the microphone. You know, can you just see Pedro Grifols like a Hulk Rules bandana? Well, you know something, Mean Gene. 0.0%.
You know what you got to do? If you haven't done it in a while, go ahead and YouTube the Macho Man Randy Savage, The Cream Rises to the Top interview. If you haven't seen it, have you seen this, Nick?
It's been a while.
Oh, then just do yourself a favor.
Yeah, that's my homework assignment.
And that is what Pedro should do after every game. He should come out there like he's talking to Mean Gene. He put tape up the wrist, tape up a couple fingers, had like a feather boa of some sort, and just the
veins like popping out of his neck.
Like he's already spewing nonsense most of the time anyway, but just like have the passion and the fire. And at one point in that video, Macho Man is not even looking into the camera. He's talking to the back wall. He's got hidden in his pants like little cream, like little creamers. You know, he's talking about the cream rising to the top.
Yeah.
Man. All right. Yeah. That got me excited. That was a good one, Nick. Yes. And I hope the cream rises to the top with the White Sox this year.
The way he is so confused over the fact, like, how do they not see this? We've turned everything over.
Yeah. Turned over this roster.
We've changed everything.
Look at the contracts we've been handing out left and right.
Do they not see the vibe and the energy here? I mean, you know, we're doing the work. We're baby stepping here. It's really that gets me. This one I want to like revisit because this one's really funny to me.
I think I'm going to check myself at the door. You ever checked yourself at a door ever? I don't even know what that means.
I've sometimes when I was still teaching, before I would walk into the classroom, I would check myself at the door. Do I really want to do this once again?
Or am I just going to grab my wife and leave?
Do I really have it in me to continue this? You sometimes just stand at the doorway and just, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh, God. Yeah. Keep them coming. And we're going to have a lot of good ones over the spring training. Folks, Chuck's talking to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody stops and talks to Chuck like they're on the red carpet of an award show. It's amazing.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of this, a lot of sound bites, a lot of just stills of people throwing off of a mound. And, you know, it'll get more exciting. First game is, I believe, Friday, February 23rd against the Northsiders. So, like, the next time we talk, Pat, we're going to be talking about spring training games.
Wow.
And
who's going to get hurt first?
What Moose Moustakas did in his time. So...
Oh, Eminem. What was the shortness? Eminem.
Moose. I don't know if you feel better, Pat. I feel a little bit better just being able to talk a little of this with you.
Whenever I get to see you, Nick, I feel better. Happy Sunday, buddy.
You as well. Folks, thank you so much for joining us live on our YouTube channel. Subscribe, pass it along to other Sox fans. Audio available everywhere you get your podcasts on Twitter X at Good Guys TV. We've got a Facebook fan page. Hey, for Pat Hester, I am Nick Morawski. Until next time, go Sox.